So today we're going to speak about the Holy Spirit. And I say that because when we sang that song, I'm going to charge you on something that you guys said. And I pray to it, says, everything else can wait. Yeah. Everything else can wait. Yeah. And God has a word for you today. I'm charging you to put everything else away and just listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to God and hear what He has for you. Because you sang and you said, everything else can wait. Let's pray. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we honor you this night, God, this evening. We praise you, we honor you, God, because, Lord, you are so amazing to us in so many ways, God. Lord, we come out here, Lord, tonight, Father, to hear from you, God, to get a touch from you, King of Glory, God. And I say, Spirit is what we need, Father. Your Holy Spirit is who we need, Father, to guide us in everything that we do, in every part of our lives, God. Because we know that we cannot be able to do it on our own, God. And those things, Jehovah God, that are carrying us and trying to block us away from doing what you've asked us, oh God, we are saying they can always talk, King of Glory, God. So, mighty King of Glory, I pray, Lord, that your word, Father, will be planted deep in our hearts, oh God, tonight, Lord. That Jehovah God, a seed will be in us deep, oh King of Glory, God. That Jehovah God, it will bear fruits, oh God, which are tangible, oh King of Glory, God. I pray, mighty King of Glory, that you may move me completely out of the way, Jesus, so you can speak to your people, God. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we've been going through the book of Acts, and in the last, I think, chapter 9 and chapter 10, Pastor Jay preached, Pastor Crystal preached, and Steve preached, and I preached too. And the interesting thing with the chapter I'm going to be doing Acts 11, 18, is the same, so it's a summary of the same thing that I preached. So Pastor Jay usually does the schedule, and so when he did the schedule, and I'm reading, I'm like, I think he made a mistake. And I went back and I looked, and it's Peter summarizing exactly the same thing that I preached. And I was like, okay, wait a minute. So this is easy for me. All we have to do is put it on the screen, sit down. I'll come out and I'll just do a little comments here and there. And then we can move on, right? No, it doesn't work out that way. But the beautiful thing about it is, regardless of how many times you read something in the Bible, it always comes alive in a different way in your situation. And so the biggest confirmation for me is, as I read through that, and you will see, it was reading the same thing, and I'm trying to figure out, what else can I get out of this? What else can I get out of this? And Holy Spirit came up. And today we're going to speak about the Holy Spirit. But the thing which was a confirmation was Pastor Crystal last Wednesday preached on the Holy Spirit. So pretty much when I didn't even, I was down in kids, and so I didn't listen to her preaching. And so I waited until I had finished my message. So then that way I can listen to her message. And that way I'm not copying what, you know, Pastor Crystal had said. And interesting enough, as I listened to her message, honestly, this is 2.0 of the word she had preached. And that's what God does. So let's get on to reading. Oops. Please hold. All right. My computer refused to open for the first time. It's like, oh, there you go. Perfect. All right. Acts 11, chapter 1 to 18. Now the apostle and brethren who were in Judea had the Gentiles also received the word from God. And when Peter came to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, you went into uncircumcised men and ate with them. But Peter explained to them, from the beginning, saying, I was in the city of Joppa, praying, and a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a green shade let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered it, I saw four-footed animals on the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air, and I heard a voice saying, Rise, Peter, and kill and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. But then the voice answered me again from heaven. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent from Caesar. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, the six brethren accompanied me, and we went to the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in the house, who said to him, "Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved." And as they began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he has said, "John indeed baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Can you guys say Holy Spirit? If there is God, if therefore God has given them the same gift he has given us, when we believed on the Lord, when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I couldn't withstand God? When they heard these things, they came to silence and they glorified God, saying, "Then God has granted the Gentile repentance of life." So if you have been listening to the last sermons, basically what it's saying is Peter goes to the house of Gentiles. And he dines with them because that's what God wants him to do. And then now he comes back to his people, and his people are like, "Dude, we don't even want to talk to you because you've been hanging out with the wrong people," right? Sound familiar? But he's like, no. Let me explain myself. Let me tell you what's going on. No, basically what happened is God did A, B, C, D, and this is where we are, right? And so if you haven't listened to the sermons, go back and listen to that. Pretty much the last four sermons. This is a summary of the last four sermons that have been done on Wednesday. And so, I agree. So as I looked at this text, my question was, why would God give these people the Holy Spirit? Why would he give them the Holy Spirit? Because he can just send them to preach. He doesn't have to give them the Holy Spirit. And in order for you to understand why he got the Holy Spirit, we have to think about where we are today, or what they were going through and what we are going through today. There'll be some parallel that we look at that. Because we have been promised the Holy Spirit as well. So when you think about it, we are in war. W-A-R. We are in war. Think about it. Think about the wars that you know for a minute. If you think about the Syrian war that we are still fighting as Americans, it's been 7 years plus. That's a long time, right? Okay, three of you. All right. Yes. The ISIS war. We've been fighting that since 2014. Yeah. That's a long war. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe I should ask this. Who knows the longest war is that we've been fighting? Korean War. What else? Spiritual war. Spiritual war. Yes. That's the key. What? Hey, good try, Brian. So, the longest war you've been fighting is the war after your soul. It began before you were born. And every time, every single day, it intensifies. And more so, when Jesus died on the cross, that's when it even became more crazy than it was. Yes, there are all these wars, because if I ask you, and like most of you, I know you guys, I applaud the people who are brave to answer. But if you ask most of you, what is the battle you're fighting? You'd be like, "I'm fighting school, I'm fighting work, I'm fighting my spouse, I'm fighting traffic, I'm fighting all these things." But in essence, those are not really a fight that you're doing. Because the biggest fight that we have is it's a spiritual war. It's a spiritual war that wants to take you away from all those things. And so in order for the devil to get you away from fighting and realizing that the fight you are in, he distracts you with those things. Yeah. And that's why the Holy Spirit was given to us, because when we have the Holy Spirit, he can identify things in us and tell us, that is not your war. That is not what you're supposed to be fighting. Yeah. You're fighting the wrong thing. You're fighting the wrong person. You are doing the wrong war. And if you know that, then you can be able to fight the war. Yeah. And the Bible says, "Refuse the devil and he'll flee from you," right? Yeah. It doesn't say like, look at the devil and tell him, free from me. He's not going to hear. Even people used to call Jesus' name and the devils would be like, ha, 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 right? But the point is, the devil frees from you because you identify what he is doing and you don't fall prey to what he's trying to do. When he comes, when somebody attacks, try to attack me, and I already know how they're going to attack me, then I call them out and tell them, I know this is what you're going to do. Guess what? They stop attacking me because they realize they have no weapon towards me. And that's what we are talking about when the Holy Spirit allows you to be able to identify what the devil is going to be attacking you or how he's going to be attacking you. And then at that point, the devil will flee from you. See, there is no difference between the time of Jesus as now, when Jesus ascended. The disciples were commissioned to eliminate evil in the world. And guess what? You and I, we have been called to do the same. A great commission. Go and spread the word. But we can't do it alone. We are not capable, no matter how much we try. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even the end of age. So you have been commanded to do that. It wasn't just the disciples. You have been commanded to do that. You have been told to pray for people, to baptize them, and to pray for the Holy Spirit. But how are you going to pray for them to be baptized and have the Holy Spirit if you yourself do not have the Holy Spirit in you? How is that going to work? See, God knew that Peter and the disciples and the Gentiles would be at war like we are. And they were not going to be able to do it alone. And so he sent them the Holy Spirit. And today, guess what? The same gift has been awarded to you, my friends. See, when we think about the war, you think about what we are going through nowadays. And let's be real. If you turn on the TV, if you read the news, if you go on traffic, you look at all the things that are happening. Can you really make sense of some of the things that are happening? Like it defies logic. Like let's get out of the Bible for a minute here. Think about what's happening right now. Because it's easy for us to justify and say, oh, that's a generational thing. Oh, those kids are just rebellious. Oh, that's just life. But really, is that an indication of the kind of war that we are in? That we become so normal that things happen and we just crawl through and it's just like just a normal thing. But see, if you have the Holy Spirit, if you allow the Holy Spirit, he'll be able to point to you and tell you that those things are not normal. The enemy is gaining territory. And if he's gaining territory and you are aware of that, then guess what? You are commissioned to pray, to pray, to pray, and to pray. So then people can be snatched away from what the devil is trying to do to them. See, you watch news and you see young kids doing things that you don't even want to speak about. You watch TV and the commercials, you need discernment. You need the Holy Spirit just to watch commercials, man. Being real, right? And you think our generation is bad? Think about our kids. Think about if God tallies and he doesn't come back, think about the generation next. What's that going to happen? We need the leading of the Holy Spirit. We need to know that we are each and every one, you have been commissioned to go and fight. And fight for the next generation. Fight for yourself. Fight for your next generation. And it just got really quiet. Thank you, pastors. See, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:10-12 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the armor of God, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the evil. For we struggle not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the power, against the world forces of the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the supernatural places. Yeah. Think about that. Mm-hmm. You are not fighting normal things. No. You are not fighting just normal human being. You are in a full spiritual war going on right now. And the Bible actually says, put on your whole armor, your full armor. Yeah, yeah. It's not time to play, people. Yeah. It is not time to play. It's time to know, you have to realize that you're in a war. And when you realize that you're in a war, then you will be able to realize that, yes, I need the Holy Spirit to guide me. See, I was talking about the news, and I heard somebody say, I think one of the pastors said that, somebody had said that, you know, you always read your Bible in the morning, and then you want to watch the news, you know, read the Bible to see what God is doing, and then you want to read the news and see what the devil is doing, right? Yes. Or watch the news. And I hear people say, I don't watch the news, or I don't do, I'm not saying be engrossed for 24/7, right, in the news. But we need to understand where we are. Because ignorance is not a solution. Because what happened is you go in there, you're doing your Bible study, and then you go watch the news, and you can see what the devil is doing. And guess what? That's a time for you to start praying. But if you just keep going through your life and just assuming that things are just normal and people are just crazy, then guess what? That is not the truth, right? But don't spend more than 10 minutes watching the news. We'll be like, Pastor Moogie said, go watch the news. Honey, come do the dishes. Nope, Pastor Moogie said, let's do the dishes. No, ain't going to happen like that, okay? See, a time is coming where we need to close our physical eyes and have the leading of the Holy Spirit only. A time is coming when you can't get out of your door and use your bare eyes. Because no matter where you're going, sin is calling. Sin is calling every single day. And unless you really ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, you're not going to be going far. And if you do, you're going to be going to where the devil is pulling you and taking you. Yeah, amen. It's time to do whatever it takes to position yourself in a place the Holy Spirit can find a home in you. 1 Peter 21:3 says, so get rid of all evil behaviors. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure milk, spiritual milk, so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment, now that you may have a taste of the Lord's kindness. Look at that. It says, you must crave pure milk, spiritual milk. You have to cry out for this nourishment. What does that look like? How much time are you spending with God? How much time are you spending in your word? How much time are you praying and telling God? He doesn't say, sit around and just get saved and then, you know, you forget all these things and then the spiritual stuff will come to you. He says, crave. Like you, the people who love chocolate, crave chocolate, right? That nasty stuff that you guys eat. But it says, cry out for nourishment, like a little baby. What happens when a little tiny toddler is want milk? What do? They yell and cry, right? Yeah. That's what the Bible is saying. It's saying, don't just assume that you're going to just get it. We have to do work. We have to do work. We have to step in and say, I need that because I know that I cannot step out. I cannot accomplish what God is calling me to do unless I get that spiritual fuel that I need. You get to grow in the full experience of your salvation. Think about that. What would that look like for you and the people around you? What would that look like if you really grew into your full experience of salvation? This is a time to get to know and learn the leading of the Holy Spirit. We have to get ready. And I'm not going to read it, but Matthew 25 talks about the 10 virgins. Yeah. Some, they carried oil and they carried extra. Yeah. And so when it was time, some who didn't ran out, then they were not able. They were closed out. Yeah. And it's the same thing. If you don't fill yourself now with the Holy Spirit, when that time comes, what's going to happen to you? When things just get crazy, what are you going to do? The time is now for you to fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 16, 19-20 says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Because you think about it, the idea of the Holy Spirit living in us, if you read the Old Testament, nobody really would go into the holy place unless you are pure and clean. Yeah. Right? You had to, literally, they say that they would tie a rope. Yeah. Just in case you go in there and I assume, just in case you go in there and, you know, you are not clean and you are not pure, then you die, right? Same God. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Still standing, and he's saying, I want to come and inhabit in you so you don't have to make all these long journeys to go and come in front of me so then I can forgive your sins. And so he's saying, I'm standing. I want to come in your heart. But you have to be pure. He doesn't change yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So you can't just be like, oh, I'll take down the Holy Spirit. If your temple is not clean, he ain't going to be there. Yeah. Lucky enough, you ain't going to die. But, you know, I wish it would be that way, because then it would be a whole different story. But you need to get rid of those things in order for you to allow the Holy Spirit to come and take residence in you. That's why he's saying crave. Crave means you have to do something. You have to cleanse yourself. You have to get rid of those things. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I hope you guys are like here. It's just seeping in like, this is working. Because you guys are like super quiet. Like, Mugi, I have no idea what you're talking about. See, you have to think about it. That then the penalty of being sinful was death. But God gives you a choice now. He says, I want to come in and reside in you. Yeah. And we all have a choice.
Yeah.
So today I'm asking you, what do you need to fix in your life so that the Holy Spirit can rest in you? Remember, he's a jealous God. He's not going to occupy a space that's already occupied, right? Mark 3:27 says, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and he will plunder his house. My question for you tonight is, who is in your house, man or lady? Who's in your house? Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody hears my voice and opens, I'll come in and dine with him and he with me. What is the state of your house? Who is your house and what's the state of your house? Yes. Is it quiet and inviting? Or is it a party house that when God stands on the door and knocks, you can't even hear him knocking?
Wow.
What is the state of your house? Ezekiel 36:26 says, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a fresh heart. See, tonight, some of you need a new heart.
Yes.
Your old heart is worn out. It carries so much baggage from the past. And guess what? Remember the story of Lot? She carried so much, even though there was freedom for her to go and leave and escape danger. But there was so much baggage that her heart made her turn back. And then when she turned back, what happened? Turned into salt. Right? And it's the same thing. These are not just cute stories in the nursery rhymes. This is the reality of it. The Lord carried so much. She wanted to go. She started walking. She went. She pretty much, if you allow me, she went to church. She sat in the sermon. But guess what? When it was time for her to continue moving and get rid of the stuff, what did she do? The stuff in her heart made her turn back. And that's what happens to us. We come to church. We do these amazing things. But guess what? Where is our heart? You know, one of the things that God has been talking to me of the last month is gifts. And I'll specifically use me as an example. I can come here and preach. And God allows me to be able to look at the text to jump out and to be able to compose what I need to talk to you guys. I love to talk, so that's a little easier for me. I still have to get some nervous stuff out of my system, but anyway. But see, for me, that's a gift. And it's so easy for me to stand up here and say, Mugi, that was good preaching, that was a good word. And I feel like, wow, that was a good word, I did good. And it's easy for me to fool you because I can spend a week a few days and read the text and be able to come up with something. And you think because I stand here and I speak, you know, the word of God in an easier way that I have a close relationship with God. It's easy for me to do that. But what I read the Bible says that Those are just gifts. Whether you sing, whether you preach, whether you do all those things. But that's not what you're going to be judged on. You're going to be judged on the fruit. You're going to be judged on the fruits. What are you doing with the gift I gave you? Because God is not going to be like, whoa, you are an amazing singer. You are an amazing preacher. Oh, you are an amazing person that talks to people. That's not the question you're going to be asked. He says the works are going to be put, and then a fire is going to be brought up, and then what's going to remain in there? So when you look in the case of Lot, she walked, she helped her family, she walked to that point. But then it got to a point, and it's like that stuff was put under fire. And what happened to her heart? She turned back. See, we've got to be careful that our hearts, if we do not get a new heart, the old heart will trick us to looking back, and we're going to end up like Lot's wife. It's time to allow Christ to come and to restore us, to give us a new heart to be that can be filled and can contain the Holy Spirit. Psalms 51, 10, 11, David is saying, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Think about that. This David, he's saying, do not take the Holy Spirit from me. He knows how important. This is a mighty person who everybody talks about. But his cry is not, God, I want to be with you. His cry is not that, yes, to some extent. But he's saying, please, please do not take away the Holy Spirit from me. Yeah. What about those that don't have the Holy Spirit in them? What should your cry be? If David, who is already doing mighty things for God, he's saying, do not take away your spirit from me. How important is having the Holy Spirit in you? How important is that? I titled the message today, do you need help? Do you need help in your day-to-day life? Do you need help in the things that you're doing? Do you need help in your family? Do you need help in your marriage? Do you need help in your work? Do you need help with the calling that God has called you? And if your answer is yes, then you need the Holy Spirit. See, John 14:26 says, and this is the AMP version, but a helper, a comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener, somebody who stands by, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. He's a helper. He's an advocate. He's a comforter. He's an intercessor. He's a counselor, marriage counselor or life counselor. He's a strengthener. And guess what? On top of that, he still stands by just in case there's something else that you want. How much more do we need the Holy Spirit? See, it's time to seek the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26-27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us in groaning which cannot be uttered. And now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He prays for you for the things that you do not even know that you need. He sees before. He sees, like I'm talking, I talked about, like a time is coming when you need to close your eyes and walk the door with the Holy Spirit. He's like GPS. You guys use Waze? Anybody use Waze or maps? Right? I love using Waze and map. Because even though I know where to go, that thing tells me traffic is changing, tells me however I'm going to go. I can, if my wife would allow me, I would put Waze coming to church. So then I don't have to leave early, right? I'm just telling you. Because think about it. It's up there, sees what the condition of everything that's going ahead of you. It sees the traffic. It sees how many people, if there's an accident. Sees if there's something that's going to interrupt, ask you to reroute to go to a different place. Guides you every step. Tells you that, you know, every time you make a mistake and you go the wrong way, what does it say? Rerouting, right? How many of you have made a mistake today in your life? I have. But guess what? The Holy Spirit says, reroute. You know, of course you can be stubborn and continue going and then it's a whole new story, right? Or you can choose to follow and do that. But the thing is, if you just had a map, what would that look like for you? Try to come from Seattle to here in rush hour, right? Or Bellevue. Yeah, right? But see, the thing is, even if I've traveled that route before, I do not rely on my own experience. Because things change. There's a delay, there's an accident, there's danger. I need the GPS to tell me when to reroute. And I just don't look at it once and I'm done. I constantly look at it. I constantly look at it. That's why it's right there in front of me, right? So then I can continue to look at it and it can continue to reroute me and guide me to the right place. I wonder if the Holy Spirit, if they made the GPS, you know, thinking about the Holy Spirit. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. In a very dumb way for me to explain the other ways, but that's what the Holy Spirit does. Don't do this, Moogie. Okay, go this way. This morning, I don't want you waking up and going this other way. He tells me what I need. He tells me where I need to be. When I'm talking to people, I'm asking God, Holy Spirit, what can I tell them? What can I advise them? How can I speak to them? What do they really need? That way it's not my word, but His word. Because He has a plan and a purpose, right? For them. We all need the Holy Spirit. Remember I said, you are in a war zone. You are in the war zone and your armor has to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Kind of like Iron Man. Who's watched Iron Man? Okay, I'm not going to explain that. Go look it up. Iron Man, you know, the movie. Right? And so he has this suit and then there's this thing that kind of gives him the power to do stuff. And so he flies above. He always flies. He goes up. And there he can get a perspective and be able to attack the enemy from there. And it's the same thing. We are filled by the Holy Spirit. Because then we can have an advantage over the things that are happening around us and for our families as well. He knows what you are fighting against today. And He wants to come and rescue you. See, this evening somebody needs rescuing. And it's time for you to cry out to God. And have that craving that tells God, Holy Spirit, I need you. You know, when you think about John the Baptist was sent out to come and announce that Jesus was coming. And he was in the wilderness and he announced Jesus was coming. But let me read you Luke 1:14-15. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. So they are talking about John. Many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine or strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. He was filled with the Holy Spirit in order to declare that Jesus was coming. And he was able to do that. He got the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. And Luke 1:41-42 says, and it happened when Elizabeth had the greeting of Mary and that the babe leaped in her arm, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out as a loud voice saying, blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So when Elizabeth met Mary who had Jesus in her womb, Most commenters believe that this was when John was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he was commissioned to go out there and declare that Jesus was coming. John in Matthew 3:3 says, "For this is he who spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." See, so he went out and said, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. See, John announced the first coming of Jesus. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit even before he was conceived. But guess what? Today, you have been anointed. You've been commissioned to go and declare the second coming of Christ. You've been asked to go and tell people that they need to prepare themselves, that they need to ready their hearts, that they need to leave their sinful nature, so then that way, when Jesus comes, they can be saved. John was filled with the Holy Spirit in order for him to declare the first coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ, guess what? You have been commissioned like John. And you're not going to be able to do it alone unless you have the Holy Spirit. Nudge the person next to you and tell them, you are John. Okay, that is disobedience. It's like five of you that did that. Think about it. Pray for the future generation. You've been called to announce the second coming of God, of Jesus. Pray for the Holy Spirit for you and your kids, born and even those who are not born. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you pray for your kid to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. But you, because it says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And John was filled with the Holy Spirit. So guess what? You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So then you can be able to pray for generations to come. So you can be able to pray for other people. Right? The Bible says that John 14:26. The Bible says that he will teach you which way to go. All you need to do is invite him. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said. And then Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in the tribulation, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint. But the Lord God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that who was given to us. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to be able to overcome tribulations. To be those tribulations that we are facing, they're supposed to build our character. They're not supposed to take us away from Christ. They're supposed to bring us close to Christ, because that's getting us ready, because the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And then Acts 1 says, but you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the worlds. You will receive power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 22:38 says, Peter replied, each of you must repent your sin. You must turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for your forgiveness of sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you can't just say, I'm just going to take on to the Holy Spirit. It says very clearly that each of you, not all of you, individually, right? You must repent of your sin and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin. Then it's not if or maybe or maybe, you know. It says then you will receive the Holy Spirit. So you have been promised. And God never goes back on his promises. Luke 11:10-14 says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from his father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, talking about you, know how to give your good gift to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He's saying the Holy Spirit is available for you to ask. He says there is a prerequisite. You have to commit yourself to Christ. You have to give your life to Christ. You have to allow Christ to come in and take hold of you completely. Then, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, then you will be given the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Renee, are you still here? Want to play? Oh, okay. Please. So tonight, I want to do a simple altar call. If you haven't given your life to Christ, if you haven't submitted your life to Christ, this whole sermon is a waste for you. Because you are not going to get the Holy Spirit. He's not going to guide you. You are on your own. But the beautiful thing is, There's an opportunity for you to give your life to Christ and get this helper, this advocate, this amazing gift that has been promised to us. So, you can go ahead. Yeah, it's okay. So, if that's you, I'm going to give you a moment here to come up and I'll pray with you. Because this is the time. Like I said, you can't walk out there by yourself. It may look like you are able to do it. It may look like, oh, I got this. But you ain't got this. I'm going to lie to you. The world is getting worse every single day. So if that's you, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come up and say, God, I submit myself to you. The next part is, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, I'm going to invite you to come and ask. And I'll give you an opportunity to come up here and pray with you and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, to take a hold of you, to guide you. Because like we looked, you can be like Lot. You can think you're doing the right thing, you can be in the right place. But if the Holy Spirit is not in you, then that old heart is still in there. That old sin is still in there. So if that's you, come up here and we'll pray together. In the precious name of Jesus, we honor you today, God. We thank you, Father, because, Lord, we don't have to labor to have your Holy Spirit in us, oh God. We don't have to labor, O King of Glory, to be perfect in your eyes, O King of Glory, God. All we have to do is submit our hearts to you completely, Lord. And so, mighty King of Glory, I thank you for the word that has gone forth today, God. I ask you, mighty King of Glory, God, that you will speak to every individual, God. Every person, speak to their heart and nudge them, Lord. Show them the way they should go. Show them the way they should live their life. Show them, Father, what they need from you, God. May the King of Glory, I pray, Lord, that this word that has been planted, this seed has been planted, oh God. That, Father, you will cover it from the enemy, God, that it doesn't get stolen, Lord. The King of Glory, Father, it may bear fruits, oh God. And not just for our fruits, O King of Glory, God, but your fruits, O King of Glory, so we can reach, Father, the generation, Father, that's before us, O God. Let us know, Father, that this gift you've given us is not for us, O Lord, but it's for the work and the commission that you've called us to do, Lord. We praise you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, don't forget.